I wonder if we just got time for one more issue, and that's climate change, because I think that's something that young people are increasingly interested in, and are increasingly wanting to know what the history of this actually is. But again, potentially is freighted because people might see it's overtly political if we're teaching this within a classroom setting. I wondered if you had any thoughts about this. Paul, do you want to start?
Yeah, I think there's lots of potential here because the nature of the periods that we're dealing with in the primary school. Again, I think the transition between different periods, between prehistoric times and the development, shall we say, in inverted commas, civilization and agriculture, you know, the advantages and disadvantages of each. It wasn't all advantage, you know, once we actually got places like Sumer and Egypt, etc., people coming together, you're getting disease, plague, all the other issues coming, and erosion, and beginning to affect the environment. So again, it's compared with obviously the precarious nature of hunting communities. Equally, it's the idea of how long these types of societies. Most of the world would have been actually where most people were actually hunter gatherers would have been more typical. Much of the globe for a very much long period. These early civilizations would have been the anomaly to start with. So there's that issue. Equally, if we come to industrialization, if you look at, say, particularly the Victorian period, if you're looking at that, again, the advantages of industrialization in terms of is often given, you know, the speed, the travel, the material gains, etc. But against the, obviously, what we see is the long-term cost in terms of pollution. Again, appreciating that actually in Victorian times, it was restricted to initially to obviously this country and then Europe and beyond. But essentially, the difference how the globe is now becoming more industrialized is relatively recent. So when we've got the scope, if we bring this out of big picture history to actually look across time, when you're looking at an early civilization, or if you're looking at the Victorians, to relate it to these different times to get this broad sweep of the past. And that's, I think, how you can begin to get children looking at these really big issues. And again, there are links there. I mean, I'm very cautious about where I think in terms of links with the subjects, I think in terms of topics, but there are real links there you can get with geography and science, with terms of evolution, for example, that can actually sort of give opportunities. And that's just one of the benefits of the primary school, where you've got these other subjects that they can refer to. And then you can get this idea, you know, this idea of sort of from Big Bang to melting ice. The history dimension is located within that. I mean,
I think also taking a slightly different tack, because Paul is very good with his big history, his overview of history. I'm more of a zoomer in than a spreader out, as it were. thinking about these civilizations that we look at. We always need to think about why did that civilization grow up in that place and at that time? And there are always geographical elements that lead to that growth, the use, the water, fertility of the lands, etc. But also looking at why did the civilization decline or end? If we're looking at Sumer, if we're looking at the Indus Valley, which we're not sure about, but we think there was climate change that affected that. And if we look at the Mayan civilization, it's possible that those city states, as it were, grew up and then declined because of the way that agriculture was being used or because of changes in climate. So those issues that people were dealing with at those points are similar ones to the ones which we can bring in with modern perspectives, but they do allow us to ask some questions. I mean, the Mycenaean civilization, the time of Ramesses the Second, where there's the first strike in history, because the workers are striking because they haven't been fed. And the Hittites, those civilizations all collapse at the same time. And why do they collapse at that time in that very early Bronze period? It's because there's been a bloody Icelandic volcano spewing stuff into the earth and causing climate change, albeit a natural one. You know, so looking at how what the resources are there that encourage the growth of a civilization, and how they might be misused by misunderstandings are also important, I think.
Mm. And some great links to some of the themes that we've, you know, it's there when we talk about aspects of the British Empire in terms of how, in deriding indigenous cultures and their relationships with nature and asserting a very particular idea of nature, we are now in a situation in the 21st century where actually we need to really fundamentally reorientate our relationship with nature. And actually those answers were there in many of the indigenous cultures whose, you know, framing was very different, or in terms of, you know, looking at causes and reasons for migration. Often it's the consequences of climate change in particular area because of the ways in which other parts of the world are consuming energy, but the consequences are disproportionate. They're felt around the Pacific Ocean or different parts of the world. So I think there is a real scope there to build in both those like Karin says, the zooming in and then taking that zooming out sort of look as well.